Good morning and welcome to the Grace Hour broadcast, brought to you every Sunday morning at this time by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. This morning we have with us Reverend Mark Dawes, Chairman of the Media Commission of the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. This week's broadcast is sponsored by the Kendall Camp and Conference Center, located at Shooters Hill, Manchester. For all your camp and conference needs going into 2021, please give them a call at 876-603-3204-5. Do stay with us. In a moment, we bring you this morning's message.
Good morning. Today the Grace Hour concludes the series on the subject, the fear of the Lord. Today we look at the topic, the snare of fearing man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. Snare is not a word in common usage in Jamaica. The word means a trap. Sometimes snare may mean a deceptively attractive trap. That is something that looks good, but it is really a trap to do you harm. Readily, one can make the application that being keen to please men at the expense of pleasing God is a deceptively attractive trap. But it is a sin the Lord will not ignore. The truth is, many Christians would sooner offend God than someone else. But Jesus has a warning for such Christians. He said in Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Jesus commands the fear of God and warns against the fear of man. The fear of man and the fear of God cannot coexist in a Christian. Jesus was also implying that the fear of God is the only true remedy for the fear of man. A number of Bible characters unwisely embraced the fear of man and thereby dethroned God from pride of place in their lives. Among them was Abraham. On two separate occasions, Abraham, fearing for his life, conspired with his wife Sarah to represent themselves as brother and sister. Firstly, this deceit occurred before Pharaoh in Genesis 12. And secondly, they repeated the deceit before King Abimelech of Philistia in Genesis 20. God sought to motivate Abraham to live for him and not succumb to the fear of man. God, in speaking to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 1, said, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Here God was reminding Abraham that he was in charge of the universe and that he remained sovereign and all-powerful, and hence there was no need for him to fear these strong political figures. The fear of man is absolute bondage. The fear of man can serve to cripple a Christian's walk with the Lord. The fear of man will often dictate our values and the yearnings of our hearts. Oftentimes, it is the fear of man why people who know better seek to champion unbiblical causes such as abortion on demand, euthanasia, and same-sex marriage. It is the fear of man why there is so much political correctness prevailing in the world. It is the fear of man why so many of us Christians have done foolish things, spoken slanderous things, told and laughed at distasteful jokes, and otherwise transgressed many moral boundaries. One of the ways the fear of man manifests itself is when Christians become palsy-walsy with the world. In this regard, the Apostle James warned Christians, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." James 4 and verse 4. The Apostle James was making the point that the world is a fallen, sin-sick world and morally decaying world. He warned against Christians sourcing their values and attitudes from a fallen, sin-sick and morally decaying world. To do so, argues James, is to give place to the fear of man. In John 12, verses 42 to 43, we are told that after Jesus had taught the word, there were some who wanted to become his followers, but they were more concerned with their social standing in the community than they were with pleasing Jesus. It says there in John 12, 42 to 43, "Even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." These men longed for the approval of men more than the approval of God. They did not fear God. They feared the disapproval of the Pharisees. They preferred to get ratings from men more than ratings from Christ. The irony is that Jesus often criticized the Pharisees for majoring on external trappings of holiness instead of cultivating holy hearts. Yet when the gospel was preached by no less than Jesus himself, the religious and influential people in the society chose the approval of these Pharisees above the approval of God. They were more concerned what the religious leaders thought rather than what God thought. We still have that problem in our churches today. Many in our churches are more interested in being men pleasers rather than pleasers of God. Christians often turn people into idols, as if somehow these idols possess the power to fix us, as if they have the power to satisfy our soul's deepest yearnings. The fear of man is a form of idolatry. The fear of man has the effect of dethroning God and deifying man. And God, being a jealous God, will not accept being dethroned. Tragically, the only power held by idols is the power to ensnare. The first part of Proverbs 29:25 was highlighted at the beginning of this message, which says the fear of man lays a snare. But just as important is the second part of the verse, which says, "But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." How do we become safe? Not in creatures, but in our Creator. Daniel chapter 3 records an episode where three young men chose not to give in to the fear of man. King Nebuchadnezzar had ordered the worship of a golden idol. But these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to be intimidated by the fear of man. They told the king in verse 17, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." What explained their manifest lack of any fear of man or of the overheated ovens they were threatened with? The answer has to be their experiential knowledge of God. They had a solid relationship with God. They knew the character of their God. They knew the scope of God's power. They knew that God had all knowledge, was present in every place, and was all-powerful. They knew God for themselves. In other words, knowing who God truly is liberated them from the fear of man. The psalmist gave evidence of being liberated from the fear of man when he wrote in Psalm 56, verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Christians have no need to kowtow or surrender their biblical values to the fear of man. The greatness of our God and the trustworthiness of his character are the basis and which we refuse to succumb to the fear of man. Christians live in a win-win context. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For Christians, our first concern should be God's opinion of our thoughts, words, motives, and deeds. What man thinks is not of paramount importance. What man thinks is always secondary to what God thinks. Christians spend too much time obsessing about what unsaved, ungodly people think about them, and too little time being concerned about God's expectations of us as we seek to fulfill His priorities. Christians, isn't the fear of God better than the fear of that friend who would approve of your sinful words and actions? Is it not better than the approval of that special group that spends so much time concerned with fashion and popularity and the things of this world? Do you really need to be admired for your ability to flatter and impress? Do you really need that co-worker's attention? Do you really need your neighbor's envy? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 serves to remind us Christians that God has graciously given us all things needed for life and godliness. Surrendering one's life to Christ in repentance of sins and growing in relationship with Him is the best cure for the fear of man. Having confidence in the wisdom, might, greatness, and providential care of our God is the best cure to the fear of man. To my non-Christian friends who are men pleasers rather than pleasers of God, and who are concerned about their loss of social standing if they were to become Christians, I say, as Jesus said in Luke 12, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." May the Lord continue to bless you greatly.
It is our prayer that you are blessed and challenged by this morning's message delivered by Reverend Mark Dawes. For comment or counsel, please send us an email to mcaj@cwjamaica.com. Thanks once again to the Kendall Camp and Conference Center for sponsoring this week's broadcast. They are located in the cool climes of Shooters Hill in Manchester. As you plan for camps or conferences going into 2021, we invite you to give them a call to make arrangements at 876-603-3204-5. The Grace Hour is brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm Nigel Wilkinson, praying that you will experience God's grace and mercy during the course of the coming week.